we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covet schemes for expanding its sphere of influence. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. These preparations are concealed, not publicized. The stakes are buried, not headlined. Its percentages are silent, not praised.
Billions of people just living out their lives, oblivious. Choice is an illusion created between those with power and those without.
I drink your milkshake! I drink it up!
Thank you, John Larson. I received your kind words on behalf of all of our courageous members of the House of Representatives who want the best for the American people. And what we can do that is best for them in the next 24 hours is to pass affordable, accessible health care for all Americans. The best for all Americans is to have 32 million more people to have health insurance in our country.
The best for... Piece of stinking filth.
Setting a shop. This is AJ of the InfoWars. Listen to the Shaliak. This is Alex Jones of InfoWars. Listen to Shaliak on the Cold Reality News and Report.
This is the coolest thing I have ever seen.
Well, hello there!
All right, welcome to Cold Reality Radio here on the UCY.TV Broadcasting Network. Sunday, August 14th, it is 10:02 on the east coast of Nightmarica, and I have two guests with me today. I have Clint Richardson of Corporation Nation, author, documentary filmmaker, critical thinker, super researcher, and I have Patrick Jordan from VaccineFraud.com, author and researcher. And as usual, I am humbled when I am on with such great minds. I mean, let's face it, the research that Clint and Patrick have done, and then combine that information every time you hear them on these programs, any program. It's time to really open up your mind and start listening, because the research that they have done and the research that they continue to do is just astounding, and it's just revelation after revelation. Clint, thanks for being here. Pat, thanks for being here, and let's get going. Let's get this thing started. So welcome to both of you.
Thanks for you know, not also calling us nutballs.
As Morpheus said to Neo, the honor is mine.
Really? That's where you're going to take that quote from? Because it was never said before, though. Yeah, right. So So I called you during the middle of the week. I said, dude, we got to do a show. I just got off the phone with Patrick, and I've been sort of tossing this sort of theory, or anti-theory, if you will, around in my head. And I want to challenge the notion of natural evolution, the notion of evolution, as Darwin put it, over a span of time, as if we come from apes, or there's an example, for instance, of the... Let's see if I can find it real quick. I got all kinds of pages open, of course. But there's an example of the evolutionary quote-unquote theory where it shows a hyena from millions and millions and millions of years ago evolving into a whale. Right? And people eat it up, right? They leave comments, oh, that's so neat. Wow, I like it. And so what I want to do today is I want to challenge the theory of natural evolution, and I want to actually go farther than just challenging it, but I want people to take notice of when natural evolution started to be pushed in history, which was in the, what was it, Patrick, the 1800s, mid-1800s.
I'm still looking for my Darwin file. Yeah, I think that's about accurate.
That was also the time where vaccination and other things started getting more popularized as a
nice connection there.
Right? And so you look at things like W.B. Clark, a doctor, he was actually from Indiana, and this was in Eustace Mullins' Murder by Injection, page 132. And he was quoting from the National Council for Medical Research in Virginia. And so here's what he says. And I want you to consider that when I was in Los Angeles and I was trying to discover, I was still a sound editor working in Hollywood. And I had a friend that was going to, he was a resident at the UCLA Medical Center. And they were studying cancer, and so I said, I asked him straight up, I said, what is cancer? And he said, the best answer I can give you is that it's evolution. And I never really fully understood that answer in a way that I could have a discourse on it until I think now, after all this research that we have done. W.B. Clark, back in 1903, he said, cancer was practically unknown until compulsory vaccination with cowpox vaccine began to be introduced. I've had to deal with 2,000 cases of cancer, and I've never saw a case of cancer in an unvaccinated person. So here's a doctor way back, you know, over 100 years ago, saying that since we started piercing the veil, started piercing the undiscovered country of our skin barrier and whatever it else is there to prevent this evolution from happening, we're literally now stinging people, putting something through into their bodies, a direct violation of the natural laws, the laws of nature, which say these species cannot mix. If they mix, they will start getting mad cow disease and other forms of transmissible spongiform encephalopathy, which is what we're talking about with prion disease. If we inject the healthy proteins and other structures, DNA, RNA, you know, genetic code, all that stuff that's getting so popular now, well, then that is all of a sudden how, well, look what happens. We get cancer. In other words, we start evolving. We are literally being rewritten. And so what I want to do today is talk about the theory of natural evolution compared to the notion of almost instant gratification. In other words, why is it that they're selling this ridiculous notion of natural evolution? And we'll talk about why it's ridiculous, so don't be, you know, don't just think this is not a religious discussion, this is purely a scientific look at this. Why is it that the notion of evolution is being as something that happens over millions and millions of years, and that we came from apes, and that a hyena somehow morphed itself over millions of years into the biggest whale in the ocean? How is that? Why is that being sold to us? What is the purpose of that? And my theory, my personal, you know, if I was a PhD, I'd be writing this out in you know, long form. My theory is that the theory of evolution, so the meme for the show is going to be that the theory of evolution, as Darwin put it, is being sold to us so that unnatural evolution can take place. They can justify their scientific discoveries and their CRISPR technology and their vaccinations and everything else. The cancers and all these things are being pumped into us. We're literally being evolved. We're being changed on a molecular, on a DNA, RNA level, on a protein structure level, because we are being infected literally with scientific creations, with things that are designed literally to evolve us. And I can't stress how important this actually is. This is not something that's just, you know, joking around here. We're talking about, man, this is some serious, serious shit. One of the things that we got to start out with is the definition again of evolution, which in 1828, Webster defined evolution as the act of unfolding or unrolling, a series of things unrolled or unfolded. Well, that describes the protein structure, the prion structure of the body, a series of proteins that are designed specifically for each species uniquely to protect that species so that there can be no infectious particles, no infectious evolution, if you will. And the vaccination program has started introducing these foreign species, which is absolutely 100% a no-no in every, you know, moral type of teaching. You never cross species, not even with plants, which we do on a regular basis. To evolve is to unfold, to curve, you know, that kind of thing. And of course, a protein is, or a prion, excuse me, is a healthy one is folded in a certain way, and when it's infected by a foreign agent, meaning an ape or a cow or a scrappy, which is from sheep, if a healthy prion from another animal gets into our body, it starts refolding or unfolding, evolving our very structure. It starts changing. It starts reprogramming us. It says, I'm a pig and you're a human. I'm going to attach to you through your RNA connections, and I'm going to start refolding you. In other words, I'm going to start evolving you, whether it's up or down, better or for worse, I'm going to start evolving you. And so you have cancers, because why is it that in my lungs I'm growing pancreas cells, right? Because there's something unnatural is evolving in your body, right? They're selling us natural evolution as they kill us, literally change our very structure to something that is no longer natural, something that is patentable, something that is actually to the point where we're not going to be able to say that we are unique individual species. We're something created by man at that point.
Well, then wouldn't that kind of goes and correlates with the human, because then we're not so much man as in, you know, untainted. They have tainted us, and then we essentially become the hue in the human.
Yeah, well, essentially, and you patent the hue part because it's your own creation, and you at that point the word man is just the shape or the form of man. It's not really talking about man anymore. It's if all of our genes, 40% of our genes are already patented. I mean, for God's sake. Imagine what it's going to be like when we're wearing our person in our genes instead of just carrying it around as a driver's license. When our identity is built into our genes, we no longer are ourselves. So Darwin, when he first wrote his Origin of Species, a year before that he wrote The Descent of Man. Descent is another word for evolution, the act of passing from a higher to a lower place by any form or motion. So he's talking about de-evolving man into something that is less than man, exactly what we're talking about. Then he wrote his Origin of Species, and of course before that you had the unfolding of man, which was Jonas Salk's book, which he wrote before his other... Before he wrote Infectious Molecules and Human Disease, he wrote a book called Man Unfolding, right? Which, again, is another word for evolution. all right, this is the guy, Salk's the guy that makes the polio vaccine. So what happened with the polio vaccine? Well, as soon as polio vaccines started being pushed, that's when people started getting all the you know, 90% of polio cases were vaccine related, right? So that, again, you're talking about a forced form of evolution. Your body is trying to cope with a foreign invasion. So the question then becomes, and we'll go to Patrick. The question becomes, if my protein structure, my prion structure, and just about everything else in my body is designed specifically to be in the quote-unquote human form, and anything that gets in my body causes an infection, causes an evolutionary process, well then, how is it, and the only way to do that really is unnaturally through inoculation, through vaccination or some other form, xenotransplantation, whatever. It just doesn't happen in nature. So you tell me then, what is natural about evolution? There's, you know, I'll give you one more example before we go to Patrick. There's a guy, you can go to iceagenow.info. This guy keeps track of, you know, he's convinced there's an ice age coming, but he wrote a book. His first book was Magnetic Reversals and Evolutionary Leaps. Right? And he starts out by saying, you know, during most of my 50 years, I accepted the idea of evolution almost unquestionably. As a logical fallacy, it makes perfect sense. Well, of course things evolved. It only makes sense. Well, no, it doesn't. There's absolutely no concrete evidence. There's nothing that shows evolution is natural. Right? Nothing. It's all, well, we could have had a species 15 million years ago that did this, and then the hyena laughed his way all the way, and he became a whale. Right? That gets after a while, you're like, a dog became a whale. Okay. But he goes on to say that the only time evolution actually happens, he says, I learned that entirely new kinds of plants and animals just appeared in the geologic record almost immediately after certain extinction periods, time after time and after time. The new plants and animals had arrived as if they came out of nowhere, with no known ancestors, with no intermediate life forms to explain their sudden presence. And when you do a little bit of research, that's what you find, is you find that almost overnight you have a new species. Overnight, it seems, in the historical record, which, of course, we're always wary of, you find that there's a recording of a new species, right? It's not something that says, oh, look at there, there's the old species, and it's slowly evolving. No, it's a sudden appearance of something. It just happens just instantly, right? So my theory is that prions, specifically, prove that natural evolution cannot happen because our very bodies are designed to protect against the invasion of other species, and that the fact that we are being purposefully, scientifically, if you want to call it that, evolved is probably the greatest fucking conspiracy I can possibly imagine against life itself, to actually evolve a species purposefully through inoculation. That is my going theory.
I support you 100%.
Same.
Well, I took notes, Clint, and I will follow up on all of the loose threads, but let me just address, quote, instant evolution seen in Darwin's finches, comma, study says. That's the title of the article from National Geographic News, July 14th, 2006. And the article goes on to say that there was a climate change in the Galapagos, and the finches that Darwin was studying spontaneously, within one generation, created a brand new finch to fill an ecological niche that arose because of that climate change. So my point is to support your questions and your claims regarding the absolute confabulation of what we were sold as evolution. And this is going to piss a lot of people off, especially folks that had paid for their education and were taught evolution and bought it as a religion. I mean, they will literally have mental meltdowns, and, you know, good on you. So Darwin started working on his theories and started publishing papers in 1836. So let's call that 1840. Jenner started his stuff in 1790. So we're like 50 years into vaccination. And I use that as a gauge, because if they're going to say, okay, my work shows that this is the natural process, well, dude, if they've been fucking up nature for 50 years and you had no record of what happened before the fuck-up, then you can't. You can't. I'm making a categorical statement. You can't call that natural. See, I adhere to the blood type diet because it's based on genetic science. There are major blood type variations, and the natural world interacts with those variations. But I'm not claiming that the blood type variations are natural, and I'm not claiming that the diet works because it's working in concert with nature, because D'Adamo's father was a naturopath that started the initial theory on the blood type diet in the 1950s, which is exactly when you were saying these monsters, literal Yehudi monsters of Salk and Sabin, were shooting monkey shit retroviruses into the human genome. And I can produce you any number of scientists that will say, oh, 250 million years ago, these retroviruses incorporated themselves into our genome. Bull fucking shit, man. They were goddamn shot into us at least in 1790, if not for sure in the 1950s, and incorporated into our ever-evolving genome.
Well, it is kind of like, to use sort of the movie sort of theme, you know, it is as if a monster has been unleashed. One of the things that this modern sort of, you know, there's this big movement right now for CRISPR, the new DNA altering, you know, things. And one of the things that it actually is designed to either help or defeat is the production of phages or bacteriophages, right? Now, this is what I say, the word bacteria, the word phage comes from the Greek phagian, which means to devour. Mm-hmm. All right, so you're talking about something, you know, proteins that encapsulate a DNA or an RNA genome, right? And here you have this CRISPR technology that is designed to go in, and we'll talk about this, but it's designed to go in and literally, RNA is what programs DNA, and it's literally designed to either reprogram or to replace certain aspects of the DNA with whatever it is that they're replacing with. It's really scary, scary stuff that they are playing with at this point. Like I said, we'll get into that a little more. But I it does feel, Patrick, like the monster has been released, and the monster is not really anything but sort of this false knowledge of or artificial knowledge of the way, you know, the body works, or the way that the DNA works. Looking at the DNA as a bunch of numbers printed on a page in a two-dimensional format, assigning numbers and letters to things without any consciousness or any substance or if you will, for lack of a better word, love of what it is that you're classifying. It's just a It's just furniture, right? It's furniture to be pulled apart and rebuilt in the way, you know, it's that God complex of rebuilding life to your very own structure. But the problem is, you know, I'm looking at all these pictures of bacteriophages, and it looks like, I mean, the artist rendition, because they don't have a real picture that looks anything similar, the artist rendition looks like a freaking robot or a space lander, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's really, this stuff's really, really frightening, and I really want to remember that the theme of this show is that they are evolving us.
Well, I mean, I know having a conversation with someone that one of the more intelligent people that I have come across technologically, and one of his comments was that he truly believed that when people get cancer, it's our way of evolving bad genetics and people, you know, out of the mix of things. That's was the thought that was conveyed, and I just kind of, you know, I heard that, and I right away I thought, well, I think Clinton Patrick would definitely have something to say about that.
I would say in that case it would actually be the opposite. It would be those who are trying to hang on to their natural freaking lives the way they're designed in the first place are the ones that are going to have to go. That's why transhumanism is so dangerous, because in order to keep your transhumanist, to keep your parts like a robot, you're going to have to be serviced by government. You're going to have all kinds of drugs and shit put into you to stop that evolutionary process from taking over. You're going to have all these foreign parts, all these things that aren't supposed to be there mixed into your design, reprogrammed. You're the one that should actually die. You're the one that nature says, this isn't right. You know, let's do everything we can to fix it and put you back to the normal harmony of nature, the normal design. Therefore, you're going to get all these cancers and you're going to get all this disease and you're going to get, but that's okay because government is there, pharmaceutical companies, to create all the drugs that are going to keep you from morphing into a freaking whale.
Yeah, I mean, I just, you know, and indeed, the infection is the mindset.
The infection thinks it's the normal one.
Right.
So let's take up that theme of the infection, and let's bring this into the Jordan world of my theory, which I hold to be unique in the world, of making everything a biological framework. So we're going to take religion, government, health, everything, throw it into the pot, cook it down, and what renders up to the top is biological. Nature, 2003, February 28th. A bacteriophage encodes its own CRISPR-Cas adaptive response to evade host innate immunity. Now, if you understand what I said, because there's a lot of information coming fast, the bacteriophage, that's that, like, science fiction nanomachine, the virus that invades the bacteria. The bacteria is the thing that had the CRISPR to evade the virus. But what this Howard Hughes Medical Institute and Massachusetts General Hospital and Harvard Medical School document is saying is that the damn nanomachine is reprogramming itself to get past the bacteria defenses. So let me just read to you a short paragraph in the abstract. Bacteriophages, or phages, are the most abundant biological entities on Earth. Now, just hold on to your pantyhose. What did they just say? Because I didn't measure them. They just said that something that people probably never have even heard of till this broadcast outnumber by volume and weight every living life form on the surface of the freaking planet, and you didn't know it was there. Well, why didn't you know it was there? Because it is... submicroscopic, You can only image them with an electron microscope, which is a magical viewing device, which takes us into the realm of another dimension. It's it's an entity from another dimension. See how I'm taking science and demystifying all of this religious and mythical nonsense? It is a creature from another dimension, and it infects us, and it possesses us. It's all about the language and recodifying. Bacteriophages are the most abundant biological entities on Earth and are estimated to outnumber their bacterial prey, this is their language, by tenfold. Now, Clint, you are an iconoclast, and you are, like, destroying all of these foundational memes that we were given, like when in the movie The Island, they grew these clones in little sacks, you know, to complete adulthood, and then educated them to, like, you know, age 16 or something. And they show this classroom where these fully grown adult clones are reading C-Spot Run. And that's what they did to us. They gave us these memes, and one of the memes was that in a natural environment, let's just say the Serengeti, where you got the wildebeest and you got the lions, there is always, they tell us, a natural 1 to 10 predator to prey ratio so that you can have 10 wildebeest to every one lion, and it will support that ecosystem. But what the hell did I just read? That the most abundant biological entities on Earth outnumber their prey by that factor of 10. That's opposite day, man. None of this stuff makes sense.
Well, what makes you pause is what switch? What switch are we going to switch? What frequency are we going to lay out there that actually turns all those fuckers on?
Yeah.
What's going to turn the great devourer, the phage population, on to where it says, okay, time to clean up the mess. The petri dish is overgrown. They're no longer natural beings around here. Let's eat it all up.
Well, maybe just adding frequencies that are possibly good for the body. Maybe that, Clint and I had a conversation with Jimmy Holman, Pulse Technology. So, I mean, it's a good thing that we are moving in the direction of frequency-related things because, as you said before, Clint, you know, and you're saying today, what frequencies are going to turn, you know, these the frequencies, the cyclical frequencies that turn the prion and make the prion attack a normal prion and misfold it. Hopefully there's a solution in that region.
I'd like to think so. The problem, I think, with solutions is that, for the most part, the people who need the solution are kept from the technology that provides the solution on a mass scale.
Right. Well, somehow this stuff is going to – I mean, we've gotten some good information, I'm sure.
I'm of the opinion, Charlie, at this point. I know Patrick is certainly in agreement with me. I know a lot of people don't like to talk about it. Some people get off on talking only about it. But the fact is that we're at war. We've been at war for quite some time, and the only difference is that the military has now put on a white coat.
Oh, nice.
Has masqueraded as doctors and scientists and basically Dr. Frankensteins, and no one's doing anything about it. Because, well, why? Well, it's the military. It's part of government. We're not supposed to do anything. The truth of the matter is when you're at war, there is no law. All right. One of the greatest things that really kicked me in the ass was a book by a Jewish scholar, and it was called You Gentile. And it was a book, basically, it was the Jews pretty much laughing at us and telling us why they always defeat us. Well, you don't take anything seriously. Everything you do is according to rules and sport. You grow up playing sports and you develop your entire moral philosophy on the rules of sport. You go sport hunting and sport fishing. You murder each other with sport. You join the military and you follow the rules of sport that we offer you. You basically are a bunch of players in our game. And at that point, you realize, oh, okay, so the reason we're losing this battle, the reason that we're literally being evolved and loving it, just like our McDonald's, we're not doing anything about it. We're not fighting this. We got the great beast has been unleashed, the monster that is the de-evolution, the literally the tearing apart of our structure, our DNA structure, and reprogramming of it so that we can be nothing but new life, evolved life, which is no longer natural. Again, something that can be patented and enslaved, altered to the point where we cannot resist. This is the only time we have left. This small area where all this shit is being introduced to us, all of this stuff is being put out. It is the great disclosure. This is what you call in the Bible the apocalypse. Apocalypse doesn't mean nuclear war. It doesn't. Apocalypse and the other word that's so scary. What is it? Shit. The last book of the Bible.
Revelation.
Revelation. These words only they only have to do with knowledge. When you have an apocalypse, it means that knowledge is being put on you. Now, whether that's
the unveiling,
whether that's natural knowledge or whether that's the artificial intelligence that we're seeing taking over our very frickin' structure of life, you're going through the apocalypse right now. You're going through revelation. Everything is being revealed to you. They have to reveal it to you. Otherwise, they can't force it upon you. And so you get all this information war, as they call it, coming at you full force now, because that's the only way it can take over, is to be apocalyptically, you know, put in your face. We know what's happening. And if we don't actually step up, and I mean every man, woman, and child out there that gives a shit about nature and life and God and whatever, if we don't step up and do something now and stop these quote-unquote scientists, for God's sake, who has thought it would be a war against the freaking nerds?
Right.
I mean, revenge of the nerds just took on a whole new meaning, right? We got to stop this. This is not right. It is not right on any level, and yet people are eating it up, literally. It's what causes the mouthfeel and the good taste in yogurt, right? It's like they're programming us towards this final, you know, artificial life. They're
controlling what we taste.
I mean, it's incredible, and we're not doing a damn thing about it.
Evil people with their childlike mindset, we've been given just enough to keep us just sedentary and, you know, the entrainment through the entertainment to the point where they don't believe that a really true evil exists. And if there is, the television will tell us, and they are telling us. It's Islamic, you know, it's the Islamic mentality. It's this, it's that, it's, You know, I talk to people, you talk to people, Patrick communicates with people with about all this information. It's just that, just the childlike, I mean, they've really totally kept us, and they continue to try to keep us in this infantile mentality. And it works. Well, disease. Oh, you don't want to die of meningitis, so you drive down the road and you look over at the pharmacy and it says, "Oh, we've got the meningitis vaccine," and I'm like, "Oh, go get it and you'll get fucking meningitis."
Well, so Patrick, you know, the real point, and I just don't think this has gotten into people's heads again. There are no rules in wartime. There is no law. There is only necessity. And when you Correct. Are an emerging life form, artificial intelligence, whatever you want to call it, that's war. You're trying to take over the very life structure. You're trying to change and alter everything. There are no rules. There are no law. There is no law. Is what I'm trying to tell people. We believe that we live in a system of order, etc., order out of chaos, right? But biologically, the only thing that really matters is where we're at war. And at that point, whatever the law is, the man-made legal law, it's going to be freaking programmed into us. We're not going to need to know it. It's going to be a natural instinct at that point. If we lose the biological war, which we are losing in a major way, we're losing species every day, then we are screwed, right? There is no law.
So this is my take on it, Clint. If you are just an innocent hiker wearing shorts and walking through, let's just say, the woods, and you brush up against a black widow spider nest, that black widow spider isn't going to say, oh, that's a cute little blonde girl, and she's just out for a nature hike, and she accidentally disturbed my web. I think I'll let her pass. No, that damn spider is going to bite her stank ass, and she's going to have some serious tissue damage, if not get,
like,
you know, systemically injured.
There are no innocent hikers.
And so, you know, we take that as, because you say nature is God, we take that template, it's a cookie cutter, and we take the gingerbread man of God, and we stamp it into another part of the dough that is one cohesive part of the entire dough that's been rolled out in life, and we stamp that gingerbread man down, and we go, now, how does that apply to the mother that was inculcated? Now, that word means that you abuse somebody until they adopt your view. They inculcated these mothers to take their children in for the HPV vaccine. So the little girl gets the vaccine, she foams at the mouth, she drops to the floor, and dies. And the doctor says, oh, it wasn't the vaccine. She had a seizure and hit her head, and they code for that on the death certificate. Now, in nature, wouldn't it be necessity for the mother then to look for any suitable object, like a bookend, cold cock the doctor, and when the nurse arrives says, oh, the doctor had a seizure and he hit his head and he died?
It's epidemic.
Epidemic. So let me tell you what evolution is, because this paper that I was reading from, let me give you the title again. It's from Nature, 2013. A bacteriophage encodes its own CRISPR-Cas adaptive response to evade host innate immunity. So the Jordan theory is that evil is a biological viral entity that infects all levels of life forms to make them toxigenic to other species and can cause self-destruction. Isn't that the definition of evil? Well, let's see what these talking heads in white coats, and by the way, white is the color of the good guys. That's why nobody fights against a doctor, because they're working for us. The constant threat of phage predation has led to the evolution of a broad range of bacterial immunity mechanisms. So, you know, I'm truncating this single sentence to get to major points. Our response to evil is an immune response. What they are characterizing as evolution, and this is your big idea, Clint. You and I work as a team. You came up with the meme. You explained it to me because I didn't get it at first. And now I can fill in the biological blanks to say this is what evolution is. Evolution is the host fighting the evil infection. That's all evolution is, because you defined it earlier as none of the shit started happening until they started shooting it into us.
Or some major, you know, could, you know, like you pointed out in the Galapagos, something major happened,
right,
that would not allow a species to survive you know, then I could, okay, that makes sense, and it changes almost in a generation or overnight, right? Overnight being a reference to the span of time and what one generation in time is, right? So I mean, and what you're pointing at is shown over and over and over when, you know, we've used this example before, but it's a very, you know, it's something to really think about, the fact that even amongst the human species, right, the different species of man, and yes, we're different because we have different blood types, that the only way that certain blood types of men can have babies together is if we completely deaden the immune response.
Right.
Like, you literally have to tell the body, okay, don't do what's natural. I'm going to eject you. I'm going to alter your structure so that you don't have literally an immune response to the disease that is this foreign blood type child that's growing in your body. Your body's going to see it as an infection, but here, let me inject you with something that forces your body to adapt, to evolve in a way, in a temporary way or a permanent way, so that you can have a child with this person that nature is telling you you're not freaking compatible, you dumbass. You're having an immune response. Oh, well, that's okay. We can just fix the immune response.
Oh, yeah, that is always their answer, is if you have inflammation or infection, that's a terrible thing because it's breaking down your body. So let's just get rid of the inflammation.
Pay no attention to the signs and symbols. What? Pay no attention to the fact that the body's trying to tell you something, and that according to the design of nature, it's not supposed to happen. Well, that's okay. We can fix it. You know, that's a ridiculous, ridiculous freaking idea. That is almost as stupid as crossing species.
Oh. And what I wanted to emphasize, Clint, is in private conversation, we were talking about the ancient Assyrians and Babylonians and Egyptians that on all of their pictograms had chimeras. You would have the man body with the animal head. Yeah. And we can go all the way back to 1600 B.C., and people worship Ayurvedic medicine. Oh, man, that's the stuff that came out of India. You know, that's some good stuff. The founder of Ayurvedic medicine was inoculating people with smallpox in 1600 B.C., if you believe those dates. And, you know, everything's being called into question. That's the new meme, is to question all reality. But if we just accept 1600 B.C., the founder of Ayurvedic medicine was doing an Edward Jenner.
Right.
So, you know, how far back do we have to go to say, well, what the hell was a pristine human genome before they started fucking with it? And then you get Edward Jenner, and what they were saying, because people back then weren't stupid just because it was an earlier age, they were coming out against Jenner's insane practice, calling it the ingrafting of bestial disease.
Well,
what is that? That's chimera.
Yeah. It's important to distinguish between true knowledge and the kind of knowledge that's referred to as the fruit of, you know, the tree of knowledge, the good and evil concepts, in other words, right? So right now we're toying with knowledge that is really useless knowledge. All of this, you know, wondrous, wondrous thing that we call education and university knowledge is all a bunch of crap. It has nothing to do with nature or the design of nature. And because our heads are filled with a bunch of basically proprietary or unnatural knowledge, we are thus led in a direction that we will literally kill ourselves because of that knowledge. Thus, you have the idea of the Great Flood, which is a figurative term, you know, to refer to, you know, wiping clean exactly what we're talking about right now. People who are so caught up in the matrix, in the artificial reality, that they would not recognize what is nature if their life depended on it, and their life does depend on it. You know, so you're talking about a different kind of knowledge when you're talking about ancient knowledge. You're talking about the knowledge, right? It's not just facts and figures and histories and dates and times and equations and that. What we're talking about when we're talking about ancient knowledge is so far removed from anything that we contemplate today, because our heads are so full of unnecessary fruit of the tree. I mean, we're such fools compared to what they were back then.
I mean, it's pretty obvious that with them, you know, saying that we've evolved from apes, what they failed to tell us is that they're making us, you know, they're pushing us back to what they said we came from.
Right.
Which we didn't come from.
The sense of man, dude. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, and Charlie, you brought up the idea of cancer. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like I had brought up the topic of chimera. A chimera is where you have two distinct DNAs within the same host. And it could be human DNA. You could actually have the DNA of two different parents with two different presentations of DNA in you know, one in your pancreas and one in your skin, and when they do like a paternity test, they'll say, oh, you're not the parent of your own child, because they're looking at only one part of the chimera. Well, in 1956, Julian Huxley had a theory of what cancer was, and then Peter Duisberg, the guy that wrote the book on AIDS, in 2011, just restated what Huxley said, that cancer is a parasitic life form asserting itself against the host. That's where the chimera is trying to, like, come out. It's like a demon trying to take over the husk.
It's almost like an... I don't want to say it. You know, I don't believe in any of this shit that they're putting out, the holographic universe and all that kind of, but it sounds very much like, almost like an other dimensional life form trying to take over, or the notion of the unlimited worlds, right? If you think of that, if you don't think of that as a literal concept and instead a possible, well, what are the possibilities of what man can be, you know, altered into? Well, then, yeah, you have you have like cells that are trying to grow because they think the world is one of these parallel universes where humans look like cows, right? Or more like apes or whatever. So you've got the possibility of these parallel universes, if you will, that in that way I can see it as a almost like a foreign entity or a foreign life form that shouldn't be in this realm, in this frequency, in this particular design. But hey, if you just add some scientific equations, you can literally, and we are, creating a brand new frequency, a brand new world with new life forms that look oddly enough like the old ones, but have things growing out of them that, for all intents and purposes, and by the design of this world, should not be growing. Thus, you've integrated sort of a science fiction-y notion of an alternative world or universe into this one. Even though it's all figurative, just like the flood was not a big water wave, you know, right? It's all figurative, but it kind of, you start understanding where these theories are coming from.
Okay, everybody needs to go to ABC News, Medical Mysteries, and look up Tree Man. What happens when you get the HPV virus in your body is it is latent. It is a latent retrovirus that just sits there until the immune system goes offline. And then you turn into a literal, and I mean no respect to Day-Day. That's the guy that they feature in Micronesia or wherever he is from, Malaysia. No respect to him, but the demon comes out. So all these little girls and now little boys that got the HPV vaccine have literally a demon in waiting in their cell. And when the immune system gets turned off, then it will express itself, and he literally looked like he had vegetative growth. He had been completely transformed from a human being, the outward manifestation of a hominid, to something absolutely undescribable. And that's why I say you got to go. ABC News, Medical Mysteries, Tree Man. You got to see it for yourself. And after you see it, if you still get an HPV vaccine, then you deserve to die.
You deserve to be a tree.
So let me, please allow me to finish the single sentence that encapsulates this entire show. The constant threat of phage predation has led to the evolution of a broad range of bacterial immunity mechanisms, which in turn result in the evolution of diverse phage immune evasion strategies, leading to a dynamic co-evolutionary arms race. So the thing that I call evil, this nanomachine virus that has infected and is trying to take over the entire biosphere, because it is the most dominant life form on the planet, if you call it life. Most dominant, they call it a biological entity. It then creates this attrition where it infects us, and we evolve, if you will, to try to push it out. And then it evolves to try to take us over again. And it's just the little kids with the baseball bat in the parking lot trying to get their hands highest on the bat to see who wins.
Dude, I'm sorry, but I've got to clarify something, because you just created one of those cascades in my head. Damn you! You said phage? What was the term? You're avoiding the phages?
Phage immune evasion strategy.
You're saying literally that they're you've got all these phages, which you say outnumber us, what, 10 to 1?
10 to 1.
Right, so literally the devourer of things that would be considered, you know, like for instance, white blood cells would be go attack, and then what is it that comes and eats the white blood cells, the cholesterol? Right? So you're saying that they're designing the only way that they can evolve us is to figure out how to avoid the devourers, the phages?
I want to go in the direction that you're going. Let me restate it the way that I understand it and see if you can then create your own meme. Bacteria exist. Because they exist, they want to just do their thing. But these damn phages want to infect the bacteria. So the CRISPR, and that stands for clustered, regularly interspaced, short palindromic repeats, is that CRISPR gene cassette is part of the bacteria's defense mechanism to keep the damn viruses from getting in and evolving the bacteria. The bacteria don't want to evolve. They just want to sit on the beach and drink pina coladas. That's all they want to do. And in fact, right now, people need to understand this, Clint. And I've said this since 2008. We are right now covered with tetanus. Covered in it, but we're not dead. Why? Because the bacteriophage that makes tetanus toxigenic has not either infected or activated that Clostridia organism to make it poisonous to us. So what was the problem? Was the problem ever Clostridia tetani? No, we're covered in it. The problem was the damn phage. So the phage pissed off the Clostridia, and it threw down its pina colada, and it broke it as glass on the beach, and the next person that walks by gets bloody feet, and it picks a fight with anybody else around it, including the nice little, the pretty little island girl, and all hell breaks loose. Why? Because of that damn phage. So this is the evolution, but the bacteria has a response to it. It's the CRISPR cassette, which is a restriction enzyme cut and paste deletion program to get the stank bacteriophage out of its genome. But
Patrick, if you could make this into a reality television show where these things are like a all this drama is taking place, people would be on board in a week or two.
I'm writing down YouTube.
The pina colada, the whole thing.
The bacteria's like, yeah, that bitch, she came along and she just told me what to do, like she's some boss or something. Fuck. Hey, I'm gonna go refill my coffee. I'll be right back.
Okay. So the problem is the virus.
Mm-hmm.
And the virus tries to evolve the bacteria, and the bacteria says, oh, no, you didn't, and it fights back. But in fighting back, this is the weird part. This nanomachine biological entity goes, oh, it's trying to get the upper hand on that baseball bat. I think I'll change. And then the virus, quote unquote, evolves. Dude,
and keeps trying to do what it was doing before.
And
so
keeps trying to do. So we have to formulate, not like, okay, can we do a CRISPR response to the phage invasion? Well, we can. But that's in warfare, that's called attrition. It, well known in World War I, where you dug a trench, they dug a trench. Every once in a while, you'd pop up and take a shot at them. They might kill one of yours, you might kill one of them. But there was no advances. It was just everybody popping up at random trying to take a pot shot at somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
There was no ground gained. But what we have to do now, in light of this understanding, is how do we keep the alien out of the airlock in the first place? And Clint was always about the Rh negative factor of certain people's blood, because there were no protein antigens on this blood, and it was harder for certain cells of certain people to be invaded by outside forces because they couldn't get a hold on the cell surface.
Thus, 85% of the world's population being more susceptible.
There you go, baby. Because mm-hmm. there are people that are immune to AIDS. Now, let's understand this from my biological framework, which is that cookie cutter. We're just going to take Gingerbread Man and get a new piece of dough and stick it in, because it's the same damn format. The AIDS virus, the HIV virus, supposedly, because, you know, all facts are now called into question, it invades the white blood cell. What is the white blood cell? That's your immune system. That's the thing that's supposed to be fighting all comers. Mm-hmm. So the virus now attacks your own troops, and it gets inside there and it replicates. But there are certain people with, I think it's called the Delta 6, Delta 9, Delta something, what the hell ever. Look up Secrets of the Dead. It's an episode that had to do with the plague and anthrax. And what they found is that people that could resist the bubonic plague had a coding for this, and they called it a gene mutation, wouldn't they just? You know, it's a gene mutation that allowed their white blood cells not to be invaded by either Yersinia pestis or HIV. So it can't get purchased on the cell surface, therefore it can't infect, therefore it can't replicate. That's where we need to focus our attention.
Also, Patrick, I also found out a while ago that there is a high percentage of the pure German population that that is also immune to, because of their blood type or because of their physiology, I'm not sure, certain German people, pure-blooded German people, are also immune to the AIDS, whatever it is.
Okay. And let's look at this. It's because they didn't mix. And wasn't, you know, I listened to all your shows on RBN, Clint. Wasn't that one of your primary memes, is don't mix?
Well, so the point, yeah, and that's the point I'm trying to make, because if you go to Black's Law, you see, we think of German as just some term like American, which, you know, American, what does America mean, but basically throw every genome in a pot and stir it.
Yeah.
Right? But German actually carries the meaning of whole or full or of its own in respect to relationship or descent. It's not a country. It's actually a term describing a descent of a certain people. Brothers, German, brothers, those who have the same father and mother, cousins, German, etc. Germain, kind of the same thing in close relationship, appropriate or relative. Germanus in the Latin was descended of the same stock or from the same couple of ancestors. So why do you think, man, the German people are such a problem for these people who want to, you know, why did worldwide Jewry actually declare war on Germany, an economic war in the 1930s, leading to what happened? Why is it that they wanted to destroy the white Germanic nations, and that's not just Germany, that's France, that's everywhere else. Why are they flooding these countries with so many people? Why is the Jewish leader of France, the president or prime minister of France, coming out and nationally stating that if the people of France, the Germain people of France, those white, you know, specific people of a bloodline don't start mixing, that they're going to force people to start intermarrying with different races.
You gotta be kidding.
You know, this gives a whole new meaning to the notion that they're trying to mix, you know, they're trying to destroy the quote-unquote white race. White is really a term that doesn't mean anything in the long run. They're trying, it's internal that matters. So you're trying to destroy the whole, the full, the descendants of pure racial integrity. And again, this has nothing to do with racism. It's purely a scientific discussion. If you can get rid of those traits that are unique, that cause you to be immune to all of these diseases by, again, intermixing with other races, right? Then all of a sudden, now everything's all mixed up. You got one big, giant melting pot of people who have no concept of Germanity whatsoever. And keep in mind, that means that certain tribes in Africa are also German or Germain. Black people are Germain. White people are Germain. You know, this is not a matter of looking at things hatefully or whatever it is that you want to apply to it. This is purely a notion of, hey, there are traits in the Germain peoples of the world, not just Germany, right, that are immune to our diseases. We're trying to militarily infect the entire world.
Right.
The only way we can do that is to cause these people to evolve in the way that they're mixing and they're not protecting their bloodlines. And you want to know why it is that we look in history and we say, oh, okay, all these people were always intermarrying, protecting their estates, protecting their bloodlines. I think that's why. I think they know. That's the history of non-mixing of species, non-mixing of cultures, non-mixing of it, because you're protecting that strong immunity factor. I think that's what it boils down to, and I think that is where most of these customs, rituals, and laws come from. Religions, too.
I was surprised to find out that the Franks, were simply another tribe of what was called the Germanic race. And so, again, if we just take what you're saying at face value, that the Germans are resistant to evolution, then it is, you know, from my point of view, Clint, without any external referencing or qualification, it is a given that they are trying to evolve the Franks, who are just another tribe of the Germans, to get them to be what it is that they are trying to manipulate the human race to become, which is completely unable, and this was your earlier point in the first hour, unable to resist takeover by the virus, because this attrition warfare, at some point, there's a concept in phage biology. It's called kill the winner. Literally, look it up. It's a biological term, kill the winner. So, you know, if you finally make it to the end, you know, it's the end of this game of attrition, the evil will destroy you because there's nothing left. There's no purity because you've been so evolved that you've been, it's that the biological arms race in that paper that I had quoted. It has so back and forth with this, I got a CRISPR, I got an anti-CRISPR, I got a CRISPR, I got the anti-CRISPR to the anti-CRISPR. And then it's to a point of attrition to where they just wore you out, that you're a nub. There's nothing left. So you won. Yeah, you're fucking dead.
It sounds like Kill the Winner sounds like another good reality TV show.
Thank you. I'm writing that one down, too.
You know, somebody tuning in would be like, what is this, a food show? What are you trying to crisp?
No matter how much crispy skin you put on a CRISPR chicken, it's still going to be a genetically altered chicken.
And phage means to eat, so let's have dinner.
And like you were saying, Clint, about racism, it's not about racism. The other thing racism is good for is drama.
I mean, imagine if there was a reality show based on like plants that were similar but not the same.
I like this, man.
That bitch, she got some blue flower going on. Did you see that shit? Oh my god, she's not white flowered like the rest of us.
She thinks she's all that.
Oh my god.
I'm gonna smack her down with one of my I don't even know where the pedals. I'm gonna pedal that bitch down.
I'm gonna my stamen in her ass. Yeah.
There's so many ways. I, hearing and doing what we're doing today. There's so many different ways that some of this information can get out there. And like I think you even said it before, Clint. You know, making a cartoon. Making some form of cartoon that brings the reality of some of these things to the forefront, and maybe just T-shirts or something like that just really makes people think to the point where they see it enough and they're like, well, I gotta know what that means.
Patrick, what's our shirt gonna say? Because Patrick and I are kind of this we still are very passionate about this. But I mean, ultimately, if Patrick and I were to wear T-shirts that were honest about our opinions or our dispositions, they'd basically say, "You're all fucked."
And then that would be you're a racist against every form of life.
I'm a racist.
Guilty. Okay, so let me give you some. Go ahead.
Okay, Pat. Go ahead, Pat.
Okay, because I do, Clint and I live references, so I have the references. But at a certain point, though, the information is exactly what you were preaching, many years ago, Clint, is that there are things that are self-evident. If they are forcing people to intermix, it's self-evident that they have an agenda that is counter to the preservation of that life form. So here's a paper. Virus host co-evolution. Killing the winner and the Red Queen. Now, anybody that knows Alice in Wonderland, there is Through the Looking Glass, and in that book, there is what's called the Red Queen's race. So the Red Queen, the Queen of Hearts, was a character in the book, and she would sponsor a race where everybody had to run as fast as they possibly could because the earth was spinning beneath them. And you were running your heart out just to stay in one place. You weren't going freaking anywhere. And that was the gist of the Red Queen's race, is you made no... There, okay, and we got to open up this line of thought, either in this show or somewhere else. You guys can be the arbiters of that. There is no moving forward. And let me just give you the teaser on that. When I was putting together my last two books, Prion Agenda and Continuum, I got a cold chill right now, gentlemen. I got this cold chill because when I was looking into the Bacula virus, that's B-A-C-U-L-O, Baculo virus, it is a virus that infects insects. It is a vector that they use to make vaccines. They were sequencing the genes of the Baculo virus and found out that there were genes, literal DNA sequences, that created behavior. And one of them was climbing, moving forward. And Clint, you and I, and Sholly knows well, that one of our favorite parasites is the cordyceps. When this fungus infects an ant, it makes the ant climb to a high stem, which it typically does not do. It bites down on the stem, and a mushroom comes out of its head to rain new spores down on its fellows below. That is genetically driven behavior. And when I saw that in the Baculo virus, I realized that these things, these nanomachines, these bacteriophages, and then, you know, taking it to cordyceps. Cordyceps is a fungus. Mm-hmm. It didn't matter then what the organism was. There were genes that could tell you, move forward, clamp your jaws.
Wow.
We're being puppeteered.
So the fungus... in and of itself, and we joke about this all the time. I you know, at work, I talk about nanotech, or, you know, and then when I said that, even in just joking, now it's like everything, you know, I'll get like, hey, are there nanites in there, Sholly? You know, like, you know, I'll get, they'll kind of, you know, bust my balls about, like, whatever.
Right.
But I think that they're kind of catching on that, in a sense, if that's even possible. With all the, you know, the heavy brainwashing, but this fungus gets into this ant, and yeah, and I know Clint and I have spoken about, you know, the spider that gets bitten by the wasp, and it does everything that is completely, you know, not its nature. It puts itself in danger.
Hey,
and
wait a minute, let me clarify. Wasps do not bite. They sting just like a freaking nurse.
There you go. The sting and the bite, right. And so yeah, it seems as if the programming is in there. We think about computer programs, and we think about the ones and the zeros in computer code that makes the program do what it does when you double click on the icon. But most don't even think about this biological programming that is very obviously taking place by this Baculo.
Sholly, isn't that what I said? I can take everything. This is the art of continuum, another concept that I pioneered. I can take continuum and take that gingerbread man and stick it on to code, because code is code. It doesn't matter if it is binary code as a program. It doesn't matter if it is plus or minus voltage in a electronic switch. It doesn't matter if it is the 4-bit biological base pairs of DNA or 4-bit biological base pairs of RNA. Code is code, and it has an effect on the natural world. And if you can get past the biases that were put into our head as we were taught, you know, see spot run in the island, then you can see all these connections. Now, here's for your coworkers. This is host virus coevolution, killing the winner and the red queen by Hywell, Hywell Williams. Where? What's he out of? The Computational Biology Laboratory, School of Computing Sciences, University of East Anglia, UK. And dude, I did not prepare this. I had no idea what Charlie was going to say. And what were we just talking about? I got cold chills right now. We're talking about bacteriophages and bacteria. And this paper was written, Killing the Winner, was written by the School of Computing Sciences in Great Britain. Good God. So bring this to your coworkers. Viruses are the most abundant replicating entities on Earth, with an estimated 10 to the 30th power virus particles in Earth's oceans alone. Dude. You know, are there nanites in there?
Dude.
That's whistling in the goddamn graveyard. Of course there are fucking nanites in there, and they probably made you ask the question.
Yeah, when people think about nanites, they think about these little mechanical robots. You know, that's kind of what, you know, I think that there was a movie back maybe in the 80s or 90s. I think Tom Selleck was in it. Gene Simmons was in it. Simmons was the bad guy. And I think Selleck was this cop, and they were trying to hunt down Gene Simmons and his long tongue and spitting blood. And it was, they would release these like mechanical like insects that would, you know, and then they would inject you like that. Yeah, they would walk up, and I think they would inject you with acid. So I think when we think of nanotech or nanites, we think of, you know, mechanical or like. Maybe even transistor, you know, like transistor chip type stuff.
Totally remember that movie.
You remember that one?
Well, I can't remember what it was called, though. One word, but I can't think of the name. So I think what Patrick is, in a nutshell, trying to tell your friends who you know, like all of us, pretend that we have a free will and have, you know, all this arrogant sort of, you know, I can do this and I can do that, and somehow my life has gone this direction, and I eat these foods and I drink these liquids and da 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 da, I do these drugs, right? Those are not necessarily your choices. In other words, what Patrick is really trying to say is that the whole design of life, everything on Earth, is literally being guided by the specific genomic interference that's happening from all of these different viruses, all of these different foods, all of these different things that are switching on and off your traits, your literal personality traits.
With or without the vaccine.
Right. And so you got to understand, I guess, when we're talking about the design, if you will, of the harmonic frequency of life on Earth, what sustains the very structure of our eternity, if you will, you're talking about a biome, a genomic biome that is covering the Earth. You can call it viruses, you can call it bacteria, you can call it whatever the hell you want to, but what you shouldn't be ignorant about is the fact that all of that stuff affects you too. It is what programs you from birth. The reason that you have an immunity when you're born is because you travel through your mother's placenta, and you get the immunity. You get the immunity from drinking your mother's milk, and as you grow, I almost said evolve. As you grow, you start taking on all these different bugs, all these different viruses. A virus is not necessarily a bad thing if it's something that you're supposed to have, which is why, you know, we get back to the notion of vaccination and putting these things that aren't supposed to be in your body. What Patrick and I found was that vaccines do work. It's just not the way they say they work. What they cause is a minor response in the immune system to where you don't actually express the symptoms of the disease. You're still getting the disease, but you're not necessarily expressing. So if I get the measles or the mumps or chicken, I'm not expressing the disease as my body. In other words, my body is not being, it's being halted from expressing its proper functionality.
And thus not doing what it's supposed to do, right?
Right.
And ultimately, it's not fighting it, it's just suppressing the reaction to it.
Exactly. And so all of that biome, all of that infection, if you want to call it that, which actually equates to our life, equates to our personality, equates to our health, that infection, right? Because that infection is not being allowed to respond in the way that nature intended, the design is intended to, the vaccine is causing us to not express that functionality, the reason that we have all that bacteria and shit in our guts and in our appendix and that kind of thing. The fact that we're not expressing that and that those things aren't released into our body to fight the infection, which causes the symptoms being actually the good part about the disease, if the vaccine is preventing the symptoms, the expression of the disease, the rashes and all that, well then the very functionality and the very purpose of those things that are in your body that you would think, ew, gross, or just take for granted is not taking place, which means that their, you know, poop or their, you know, expression, their frequency, their programming is not getting into your body. Therefore, your body's genomic structure is not being altered in the way that it's naturally supposed to, because disease is natural. It's supposed to happen. We're supposed to express the symptoms. Therefore, we become immune to so many other different diseases because we're activating that process of quote-unquote infection by all these life forms in our body that are designed to prevent the disease in the first place. You come along, you vaccinate against that, well then all of a sudden now you have the disease, you still have the disease in you, but you didn't express the symptoms to fight the disease, and therefore you have a 2,000% more higher chance of getting certain cancers. Oh, well, you didn't express the chickenpox correctly or the mumps or the measles correctly because you got vaccinated. Well, now you have a 5,000% higher chance of getting this sexually transmitted disease, and this disease, because you're not letting your body interact with nature, the design of nature, the infection that is the entire genome of the earth, the biosphere of the earth. You see what I'm trying to get at?
Sure, sure.
We're being ignorant that we're the top species on earth, and yet you take away just a few of those microscopic infections of bacteria, we're dead. We can't live without it.
There has to be something that is, you know, that's really kind of holding it together. I mean, our immune systems are doing something incredible. Obviously, I'm listening to Patrick, you know, when these things happen, when we have a fever, or a kid has a fever, and they say, oh, let's give the child Tylenol, let's bring that fever down, that unleashes, you know, like several other unnatural, or I don't even know if you could say unnatural, but unneeded processes as far as, you know, prions and different things like that, and I'm trying.
It's trying to keep us according to our perfection of design. That's what the immune system does. It says, okay, that's a foreign particle, an infectious particle, and if I allow that particle to connect with some other part of this body, it's going to alter it. It's going to evolve it and try to reprogram it. That's what all viruses do. That's what phages do. They're going in, they're reprogramming. And so we have an entire structure, and this is why I say natural evolution is bunk, because we have an entire structure that says, oh, holy crap, we got to stop all these bugs that are, you know, this bug, for instance, it shouldn't be in the human, it should be in the ape. Therefore, let's attack it and get it out of here. That shows you that we don't have the capacity of that kind of evolution. Now, take that in a different direction, and you say, well, okay, something has changed. Like, your body's going like, holy crap, everything's changed, the air has changed. This person is in a new environment. Absolutely, I better start working on this body to make it to the point where it's going to be more acceptable to this environment. The problem is most of the time that ends up in cancer.
Like serum sickness.
Yeah.
Basically, anything that is abnormal, that's put into the blood, just taints the blood, causes the causes an imbalance in the serum and in the whole process, which is...
Well, that's where your prionyl infection comes from. But, I mean, technically, and I say this with all sincerity, this is the purpose of the natural law that's set out in the Bible, is to prevent us from fucking with the design of God, which is nature. You know, if you look at everything in the respect that you are a part of nature, you're a small, intricate little piece of a much larger life form, if you will, a much larger presence, well, then that's what you should be protecting. That's why they call it the natural law, because you're respecting the design. You're not trying to overcome the design. You're not trying to improve on the design, which is perfection, which is timeless. You're actually worshiping it as God. All this stuff we're talking about the design of life itself, the harmony, the resonance, the frequency, the biome. That is what I am calling God. If you're not worshiping God, what the hell are you worshiping? The only thing you can worship is what is opposed to nature, right, or God. That's all religion is. Religion, in its purest form, is simply to follow the natural law religiously. Just like you drink coffee religiously every day, or you watch your fucking reruns of Friends religiously every night, you're supposed to be following the natural law religiously. You're not supposed to join a fucking club that calls itself a religion. Has nothing to do with the natural law. You're supposed to be following the law, and part of that is the utter and utmost respect of the design, the laws of nature. The laws of nature are how things work.
It's the bastardization of the creation.
Right. We have a scientific community that is specifically being brainwashed in the university system to grow up believing that they are their own creators, that they can do anything they want. If they just put their minds to it, they can break every law of nature, which can only result in, as we were talking about earlier, the Great Flood. At some point, nature's going to, you know, snap back into place, and we're not going to be able to survive in the natural order, which is to say, you know, figuratively, that God's going to fucking fling us off this earth. But we're doing it to ourselves. You can't ever blame God, right? Nature for your interference with it. But I'll tell you who you can blame. Each and every person listening to this show can blame themselves, because you're sitting on your ass not doing anything about it.
Yeah.
You're allowing hell to literally take over this place.
Clint, I need to get you on track with a thing that we talked about offline. I'm looking for the reference right now.
That Darwin was probably a pothead?
Douchewin.
I like that one.
We should just start calling him Douchewin. Because he was a douche.
And This is from my book, my book is called Timeline, A Brief History of Hell. But in 1876, Charles Darwin, theory of cross and self-fertilization hybrid vigor in the kingdom of plants. And see, what I did with my book, Timeline, is I put in everything I thought was significant within a particular date range.
Hey, Pat, can you repeat that, what you just read?
Yeah, I will.
I will
in 1 second. The reason I just put things in there is whether or not I understand them in context, I feel that they have significance and importance, and even if it's not me, somebody will read this book and remember, oh, that was 1876. Well, in another date, there's another seemingly unrelated entry that dovetails exactly into this. And they will then make the pattern. They'll make the connection. Well, I wrote Timeline probably in like 2010. So we're 6 years into a book that I stuffed things in it. Like putting it into a suitcase and having a fat lady sit on it so you could clamp it. I just put stuff into this book. I never knew until Clint and I were talking about Darwin that he had a theory of cross and self-fertilization, that's like a pure line of Germans, hybrid vigor in the plant kingdom. And so when Clint and I were talking this out, it's like, well, do you understand what hybridization is? It's where you take two different varieties of the same species and you cross them so that you can get particular traits. Well, that crossing, cross-fertilization, can either happen in nature at random or you can force it. If you forced it, then you are creating evolution. But in that evolution, we are stuck with the conundrum of the mule and the donkey. When you create a plant hybrid, it is vigorous the first year. But if you save its seeds, it loses vigor every successive generation to the point of extinction.
So think of a donkey, a mule. Right, a cross between a donkey and a horse, or think of a certain like orchid maybe that someone created by hybridization of those mm-hmm. two species. Or think of, you know, even think of the let's take a better example. Let's take the genetically modified frickin' tomatoes and everything else that they're giving us, right? How do they select which ones they're gonna take the seeds from or whatever? They notice that, well, when I cross these species, or genetically alter them, it's, you know, it wants to go in the direction of its design, its seed, right? Its source. It's, whatever you want to call that, right? So, but then there's a certain amount, a very small amount of fruit or vegetable that comes from the seed or the genetic alteration that is exactly what you want. And so you pick those that you want, the pink tomato. And you pick the pink tomato, and you only propagate the pink tomato, and you throw everything else out, and you keep doing that. But what happens then when you stop doing that?
Right? It can't survive.
You know, your pink tomato, your perfect pink tomato, the one that you want, is still going to produce fruit that is as similar to its original as possible, because that's its natural design. But it has that little inkling, that little infection in there that says, well, yes, but gosh, I like pink. And so it dresses itself up like a drag queen. Right? And you pick that
the reality show.
Propagating the drag queen. You get a fucking whole nation of drag queens, which is what we're seeing now.
Okay, so what's my biggest questions and things that I've thought many, many times ever since I realized that we've been manipulated on a mass scale is all of these diseases, children born, mongoloid,
right.
A lot of these things that happen to children at very, very young ages, whether it be, I guess that kind of makes sense, the leukemias and things like that, but things like mongoloid, things that aren't necessarily diseases, but just man that is, you know, not a complete something that, you know, kind of like, I guess, children being born retarded, things like that. Is this part of a manipulation, or is this something that without the manipulation of vaccine and the so-called vaccine theory, would we have these, would children be born retarded, mongoloid today? And that's just one example, because there's many other things.
So think of it this way, man, and I'll let Patrick answer that. What are they? What trait are they trying to get rid of in the Germain people? The whether you're black or white or Chinese or whatever, what trait are you actually trying to get rid of if you're a globalist and you want everybody the same and you want them to be your slave race? Well, you want to get rid of that notion of togetherness, that notion that they come from the same fucking parents or the same blood or the same race. They have a pride. You have to get rid of that. You have to interbreed that out. And so, yeah, they're going to tell you that if you, you know, why is it that the royal families have been interbreeding for generation after generation, and yet they're still really ruling the world and they're not mongoloids? Yeah, they have their own set of diseases, which they pass on as traits, but they're still fucking ruling the world and killing you if you get out of line, aren't they? So you tell me what it is about them that they can reproduce and marry and intermarry and never cross species with us common folk, and why it is that we always have to go back to the notion of the Kentucky model, which is complete crap if you go to Kentucky, but, you know, the notion that you're going to have all these, you know, mongoloids in their Kentucky limousine, which is a big truck with a couple of lawn chairs in the back. Right? I'm like, you got to think that that's a large part of that is propaganda.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Patrick.
You see, in the background, and I finally did it. I finally found my CRISPR files. Okay. So, you know, I put this out to the world. It's called Rapid Trait Development System, RTDS, in plants. And folks, since Clint and I were talking like a half hour before the show, we're nearly done. So it's almost 2.5 hours that in the background I've been looking for these damn files in my database. My database is like a quarter of a terabyte. So it took me a while because I didn't know the phrase RTDS, Rapid Trait Development System in plants, and it uses CRISPR for God's sakes, gene repair Ogluian nucleotides, GRONs. They rename shit. That's why I came up with the phrases Babylonian name change and same pig different lipstick. So if anybody wants my references, write to me. I'll send them to you, either as the actual documents if they're small enough because I'm on dial-up. Imagine that, you know, a guy with a brain the size of a planet and I'm struggling with dial-up. Or I will send you the keywords, or you can just, you know, transcribe it from what I said on the show. Look up Rapid Trait Development System. And you'll get introduced into the evolution using CRISPR of the unnatural manipulation of the biosphere that's being repackaged and resold as evolution, which, as Clint expertly outlined, is a bunch of total shit. So to answer what Shali had brought up about Down syndrome, mongoloidism, let's do what Clint specializes in. Let's just look at the word mongoloid. Because, you know, they changed it. They went from mongoloidism to Down's syndrome. Well, why would you do that? Because same pig, different lipstick, you got to hide that pig. If everybody said, oh, that pig has red lipstick, then you would trace it back and say, well, wait a minute, they're calling it mongoloidism because why? Because they look like Mongols, which was a European no, I'm sorry, an Asiatic kind of Attila the Hun, mm-hmm. kind of like Chinese, but not, you know, it's all hidden in the annals of history, just what a Mongoloid was genetically. But it's showing up in kids across the world of, like, complete diverse parentage. So you're left with two choices. The dialectic is either this. Either those Mongoloid genes occurred naturally. They evolved naturally in all human beings, and all human beings actually were, you know, Attila the Hun, or they were fucking shot into you. And if they were shot into you, then what was the trigger? Like Sholly says, if the world is covered, completely covered in a plaque, in a biofilm of bacteriophages, then what is that trigger that turns them against all life forms? So what was it that brought out, that expressed, that turned on these Mongoloid genes that may have been inserted there surreptitiously to create these children with, and I'm going to say defects, you know, I don't mean any disrespect to anybody that has Down syndrome or autism or whatever. These are, scientifically, they are genetic defects. They don't belong there, and they were activated. So you were actually aggressed upon by a military action.
Yeah, and to be clear, these terms, we have Mongoloid, Mongoloid, we have Negroid, we have Caucasoid,
yep.
And I think there's one other that I can't think of at the moment, which is a distinction between, obviously, the darker-skinned people. The Mongoloid is actually East Asia, Central Asia, Southeast Asia, Siberia, North Asia. Now, Siberia is Russia, right? So we're talking about certain tribes and certain traits in people. Now, you take that in its neutral capacity, and there's nothing wrong with it. But when a genus of men that are primarily Caucasoid come across someone that looks completely different, has completely different traits than them, and they label them as a Mongoloid, right? And then that somehow gets into the slang of the English language, which is, of course, the language of illiteracy, as we remember. Then all of a sudden you start calling white people who are purely and obviously Caucasoid, you start calling people that are deformed as Mongoloid, which then gets into the hatred and the right? So that's the American way. That's the idiocracy of the people who think they're superior and use words that define a certain class and nothing else, right? Genetic traits of people, and they start using them in negative ways.
See, I've always had a problem with forms, government forms, where it says identify yourself. Are you white, Caucasian? And when I realized what the Caucasus was, it was a focal point, because there's gold deposits there, and the Yahudim are always like a magnet to a pole. They are drawn to these wealth deposits. So the Caucasus, supposedly, these are the urban and sometimes scientific legends, were focal points for like a blonde hair, blue-eyed race of Yahudim that set up there. And I don't have blonde hair, and I don't have blue eyes, so why in the fucking world would I check Caucasian on a goddamn government form?
Right.
Why would you check anything on a government form?
There's my man.
That's the real question.
Maybe
it's just so stupid as to check anything on a form, because they're all fictional identities.
Exactly. And so, who are we? You know that. You know, if there was a core question that I would raise for this show, If I'm saying that by 1600 BC, that the founder of Ayurvedic medicine was already corrupting the quote-unquote human genome by ingrafting smallpox from other humans, into the general population, then, and this addresses Charlie's question still, is who are we? Because where did the Mongoloidism come from, if not, you know, ingrafted into us?
Well,
so who were we before?
Here's something funny to think about. I try to tell this. I try to get this across to people because it really helps to understand. Like, you know, you might go onto some of these white supremacist, right, websites, and a bunch of people on there that because they have white skin, they really don't know anything about their heritage whatsoever, where their ancestors came from or anything. They're like, yeah, that Obama, you know, that nigger running the country. Well, okay, where does that word come from? Well, negroid, which is a description of the African people. But what's hilarious to me is the irony that is. You got a bunch of people who don't know anything about their heritage, they're complete slaves to Obama's family in the United States here. Obama is, in fact, a white person by law. By law, by inheritance law, because it's not skin color. Skin color has nothing to do with it. Nor does the, you know, if you're Tree Man, what are you going to call Tree Man? You're going to call white or black, right? Skin color has nothing to do with what your blood represents, what your DNA represents, which is Caucasoid, Mongoloid, or Negroid. Scientific terms. So you got people saying, he's a Negroid, not even knowing where that word, you know, is referenced from, the eugenics movement. And here is Barack Obama, part of the white, very white Dunham clan of landowners, and you're calling him a nigger. You're calling him a black man. You're saying it's the first black president when there's nothing black about him except your idiotic perception of his skin color. But if you actually understand what all this means, you know he's not black in any way. That is the perfect example of how arrogant and ignorant the people of the commonality have become. He's not Negroid. He's Caucasoid. And plus, he owns you!
Plus, a lot of those white supremacist sites are all ADL-driven, too, so...
Oh, well. I mean, the KKK was same, you know, had the same purpose originally. Yeah.
So let's talk about our origins, you know, the beautiful chart that I saw in a doctor's office when I was just a tender mind as a child was this exquisite, line of a creature on all fours that slowly became a hominid shape, you know, and went from like a monkey to a man. And supposedly we share, and this addresses your concern about the prion cross selectivity. If we share 98% of our genome, then why isn't the chimpanzee wearing a suit and tie and working for Walmart? If we share 98% of our genome with the chimpanzee, why don't prions cross over, as you say, between these genera or orders? Because it's not species. People use the word species in the wrong context. We're talking very large divisions, maybe even class. The class of hominids is then broken down into like man and simians.
The real question is why don't I have the desire to fling poo?
I do.
Oh, there you go. But that's not genetic. You just want to throw it.
Thank you.
I want it.
It's a choice.
I want to pick and eat your bugs.
Then, you know, I take it even farther because, you know, that's 98%, and that was the meme given to us, that we have this slow chain, this change, this long chain of evolution over millions of years to go from a hairy creature on all fours to something that walked upright. But, see, I had to confront mortality when I was in a cave in Missouri, and I saw the bottom of what are called stromatolites. These are fossils of cyanobacteria pods, because this cave at one time in Missouri was part of an inland sea. And so the stromatolites became fossilized. The inland sea disappeared. It became a cave, and we were in the cave looking up at the bottom end of these fossils. And I got to thinking, well, what is death, if not like from one transition of something to something else, and it had continuity to it. And then I had to think about the cyanobacteria, supposedly one of the first life forms, single-celled life forms on the planet, that took what is poisonous to us and put off another poison, oxygen. Oxygen is a poison gas emitted by plants that we happen to utilize. So the thing that actually created our atmosphere, according to science, you know, and I'm qualifying all this. I don't know this. This is what I was taught. The cyanobacteria have not changed in 250 million years. And if evolution was what they claimed it to be, why isn't cyanobacteria in a hominid shape talking to me, greeting me at Walmart?
Well, and so to end this out, and that's an excellent way of saying it, you know, what's the difference? So are you telling me that the people and greeters of Walmart, they came from the bacteria of the ocean? The cover of the Scientist magazine this month, the August 2016, The Scientist, which is the-scientist.com, shows human evolution, and it has a picture of a man infused with an ape. So his left side is his right side is an ape, and his left side is a man, which, for all intents and purposes, looks really idiotic when you understand that this is just a propaganda machine, in my opinion, to sell natural evolution alongside with real evolution, which is being caused by man against the very structure of our own nature. What's funny is then they are very adamant that CRISPR technology is not GMO. It's absolutely not GMO. But then it says, CRISPR, no cutting required. Combining a modified CRISPR-9 enzyme with an unrelated one derived from the immune system of the sea lamprey, a fish, a sea life, researchers demonstrate yet another way to edit a single DNA nucleotide, right? So here they're telling you that they're forcing evolution. You want to tell me how the hell that my system is ever going to be mixed with that of a sea lamprey unless some asshole in a white coat decides it's going to happen and is funded by government and it's put in my vaccine or whatever, or you said it's aerosolized too now. See, this is as long as you can be made to believe in natural evolution, you will accept any evolution that they force upon you. That's the point.
Okay, right. Clint. Yeah. So the USDA said equivocally that they will not label any CRISPR altered organism as GMO because it hasn't affected the DNA. So I struggled again throughout this entire broadcast to find information that says equivocally that CRISPR edits DNA, period. So the only natural response then is the Red Queen's response to the USDA. Off with their heads.
Got about 30 seconds, guys.
Well, thanks, Charlie. I appreciate indulging us again. No. Down with Darwin! Off with his head!
Yeah. Douchewin. It should have been not where we came from, but where we're going. In a small caption.
We're going to hell.
Nice.
Can't you see it?
Yeah.
Very nice.
When it ends here, just disconnect from UCY. I just want to have a couple words with you guys before we hang up today. Thanks for hanging out today with Clint and Patrick. Remember, strongmanstory.info. to get Clint's book and vaccinefraud.com for Patrick. Try to stop them. Don't put that on your wish list. That's retarded babble. Protesters make the hit list soon as they start to rabble. Fear nothing but fishes in the barrel. It doesn't have to be Christmas for a carol. Some decorate with ornamental decorum. Some perform shock and awe on Hanukkah and Purim. That's where my job come in. I am a blessing to them.